With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected. CannabisRadio.com presents NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. The National Cannabis Industry Association is the only national trade organization representing the businesses of the legal cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice covers a range of topics, including the rapidly evolving political and policy changes that affect our industry, news and events of importance to cannabis professionals, and features on companies, individuals, and campaigns at the cutting edge of the cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice begins now.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice weekly podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm with the National Cannabis Industry Association. And today, my guest is Zach Venegas. He's the chairman and CEO of Helix TCS, which is the parent company of BioTrack THC, the cannabis wholesale market, and Helix Digital and Physical Security Services. Welcome to the show, Zach. Good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me, Bethany. I appreciate it.
For sure. Well, let's get to know you a little bit. Let's hear more about your background and where you come from in the industry, what you were doing before you got involved in this fast-growing cannabis industry and movement.
Sure. So I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. I started out professionally as a soldier. I'm an Army guy, and I graduated from West Point many years ago. And that's always relevant because that informed my decision later on to then go into banking. And the type of banking that I focused on was in the Middle East. I was a J.P. Morgan banker out of Switzerland and Bahrain, focused on largely on the Gulf and the Middle East. And then I left to start my own private equity firm with my partner, Scott Oger, who's our current CFO. And him and I have been partners really since business school. We both went to NYU together. We went to J.P. Morgan as interns together and full-times together. And I once said to him in business school, one day I'm going to start my own investment firm and you're going to be the first guy to join me. And I think he said, you know, sure. And it actually happened. So fast forward many years, and we were frontier market investors. So we were about 50-50 between entrepreneurship, starting and building our own companies, and investing via venture capital or private equity. So we did that for a good number of years and we had good success. We did things like the first internet service provider in Iraq, all the way to digital advertising in Romania. And so that really occupied our time for about 15, 16 years. And then I had just come back to the States from living in South Africa. We were doing a lot of things in Africa at that time. And we kind of took some time to get off the being abroad trail, to be nearer to family as my folks got older. And we started to look at cannabis. A friend of ours who I'd actually known from Dubai, told us about what he was doing in cannabis. And we started to look at it. And lo and behold, cannabis is a frontier market, just like all the other ones we'd been in for so many years, with the special added advantage of, you know, we didn't have to risk, malaria and or being beheaded to get to the market and to access the opportunities. So we thought that was pretty interesting. And so we started to examine the market and study it the way we study frontier markets, and decided that cannabis was something as an industry that was here to stay. We felt that there was going to be a lot of inefficiencies in infrastructure, capital formation, and some other things. And so we decided to take the plunge.
Gotcha. Wow. That's a really interesting background. I think you mentioned like 8 countries just in that description of what you've been to. Yeah. That's fantastic. And all kinds of economies involved in that as well. So you're back in the United States primarily now?
Yes. So since we started the firm just about 3 years ago, I do a little bit, and actually more now, I do a bit of international business development for the cannabis industry, and that's picked up a lot for us this year. But we're focused here on what's going on in the United States and Canada primarily. And then I think, although I do, as I mentioned, do think that 2019 and beyond we'll see a lot of activity internationally. So again, we're very excited for that because we have a very strong network in all the places where cannabis seems to be taking off in different aspects, whether that's, you know, growing, whether that's, you know, supply side stuff in Latin America and I think Africa, or whether that's value add products in Europe and beyond. We already know lots of people that are starting to sit up and take notice of those markets from our previous experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully the U.S. can get its federal gears moving here so we don't fall behind these other countries like Canada. So that answered my question as to how you moved into cannabis for the business side of it. Do you happen to have like a personal story or a passion for cannabis or, as we like to say, a relationship with the plant?
So I'm pretty much a teetotaler, so I've never had a beer or smoked a joint, if I can say that, which is not a popular position to have in the industry, I think, sometimes. But I have a sort of different view of it in the sense that, you know, I'm from New York, and I'm dating myself, but, you know, I'm born in the 70s, so that means, you know, New York and New York City in the 80s, which is, you know, the big bag drug time, crack, yeah, and all these terrible things. And so for me, the way I look at cannabis is, you know, if we lived through all of those things, which were very bad things, you know, it wasn't like cannabis was a big part of any of those things. Like in my area, and you know, I'm from Brooklyn and Queens in New York City, so that's ground zero for every kind of bad drug event you can have. You know, cannabis was not part of that, so I don't have the sort of this, I think, manufactured fear of cannabis is a horrific drug as number one, and number two, having lived abroad for many, many years and being an American myself, both abroad and in the United States, you know, societies live with, you know, enough alcohol fatalities of women and children and, you know, innocent people to make up a small war every year. And if that's socially acceptable and we're okay with that, then, you know, to me, trying to be a little bit morally consistent and not be an absolute hypocrite, then I don't, to me, cannabis is just something that's part of society, just like alcohol is. It's something that people consume. Mm-hmm. And I don't think alcohol has any massive therapeutic benefits where you've seen, you know, with our own eyes, you know, people with terrible seizures no longer have them, or people with, you know, life-ending illnesses recover using this plant. So if we can accept, you know, all the domestic abuse and fatalities that go with alcohol with no therapeutic upside, for me, I'm very okay with, you know, cannabis is used as a recreational substance, but it also has all these tremendous medical benefits that everybody now is starting to realize. So I'm very okay with it. But I am not a connoisseur of cannabis by any stretch.
Sure. No, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, cannabis has been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and it's probably here to stay. So we may as well make it safe and regulate it and have some laws around it to protect the consumers. So,
right.
All right. So you are the chairman and CEO of Helix TCS.
Correct.
And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that's the parent company of BioTrack THC, which many people know is a seed to sale tracking platform for the cannabis industry used in certain states across the U.S. Tell me more about that, like the structure of the company. I think you mentioned you launched it just a few years ago.
Correct.
And more about what's going on there.
Sure. So Helix TCS was originally launched to focus on logistics and security within the cannabis industry. But the reason we named it TCS was always, you know, Helix TCS, TCS standing for technology, compliance, and security. So from day one, we always knew that we were going to have a much larger integrated technology and services platform. So our experience in frontier markets showed us very clearly that in frontier markets, integrated operators win, because when you have inconsistent regulations, inconsistent enforcement of regulations, difficulty having efficient capital formation and deployment within an industry, if it's very difficult to pick one single vertical and other than growing, let's say, or retailing, let's say,
sure,
and know that that's going to grow. And you're not sure how efficiently these different businesses will roll out. So when you're an integrated provider, if you can provide 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 services for one client, one, it simplifies and strengthens their competitive position, the client. And two, it simplifies and strengthens your competitive position as an ancillary service provider. Because whereas, for instance, in the state of Colorado, from essentially one day to the next, it was decided that publicly traded companies couldn't do certain things in the transport space. And so we had to hive off our transport operations and then cut that loose as a separate standalone company. And that was that. If that had been all we'd been doing, it would have been very difficult for us, right? But because we had other lines of business, we very efficiently hived off that business and left and, you know, set it free. And that was that. While at the same time growing other lines of business. So that helps us survive until cannabis is more normally regulated and acts like a regular market in its development. So that's how we formulated the company, is essentially like the GE of cannabis for that reason. Mm-hmm. And then as we execute, we are in software and compliance, we are in transport, we are in you know, guarding, meaning physical guarding, we're in monitoring, meaning remote guarding or digital guarding. We also have one of the two oldest, we actually are the oldest one in the state of Colorado, wholesale market called Cannabase. And so that we'll start rolling that in out in other markets as well. So all those different market verticals make us a stronger competitor as an ancillary, and then also allow our clients to get more done with one service provider. And that allows them to spend less money and less labor getting those services, right? And so that formulation of venture business in this environment, we find to be the strongest one. And then, you know, 10 years from now, I'm sure we'll see hyper specialization, but not quite yet.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a real quick commercial break and then we'll come back and chat some more with Zach Venegas of Helix TCS. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
The 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo returns back to downtown Miami August 2nd and 3rd at the Hyatt Regency. Learn more on sponsorship and expo floor opportunities at usccexpo.com. Don't miss out on another jam-packed weekend of education, speed networking, powerful keynotes, a bustling expo hall, plus our can't-miss networking mega yacht event. Join us in Miami August 2nd and 3rd for the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. Don't miss the boat. Log on to usccexpo.com and learn more today.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice podcast on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, and I'm talking with Zach Venegas of Helix TCS. So, Zach, we're starting to see the cannabis movement expand to other countries, as we talked about earlier, and it seems the same domino effect that we have seen in the United States the last few years as well. So the potential for international companies to get involved is becoming imminent. You have a lot of experience in the global market outside of cannabis. So now, thinking about cannabis and the global market, what do you think that's going to look like? What are your predictions?
So I think the most straightforward one, which everyone already knows, is I think it's no great insight there, is that we're going to see production move to places that have strong comparative advantage to where it's being grown now for U.S. and Canadian consumption, right? So we grow all over the United States in all the legal states. Canada grows everywhere in Canada. But obviously, there's other countries in the world that have, you know, the right climate, the right soil, where it's just a cheaper cost of production. And there'll be some, I think, a substantial movement to those places for production once it becomes internationally normalized as a trade item. So that's, we already see that happening, and we're preparing for it, and we're participating in that as well. I think within the United States, I think there's some interesting nuance to that, where if we talk about, let's say, First Nations, as they say in Canada, or Native Americans, as we say in the United States, I think there'll be some interesting developments there, where there's subsidized power and or water in some of these locations. And I think once it comes off Schedule One, there'll be, I don't want to say an explosion, but I think there'll be a substantial pickup in grows in those jurisdictions, and you know, whether that's First Nations in Canada or here in the United States. So that, and because they're their own nations, technically, that is a sort of almost a form of international trade, right? So I think there'll be that. And then obviously there'll be Latin America and Africa for, I think, large scale grow operations. But I think also you'll see other countries, I think Germany and Switzerland come to mind very quickly, where there's substantial development, as there have been in Israel, but not as much on the biotech side as Israel, in terms of extraction and some branding, branded products. I think there'll be a lot of that going on as well. So it'll be internationally driven, not just on cost of production, but also on where other countries are in their retail development, their merchandising development, and their biotech development. So we'll see those all in stages, very similar to other markets. Once the legal illegal conundrum is solved, we'll develop in a fairly predictable manner.
Man, we got to get over that hurdle. I mean, there's so many countries that really are looking for a new industry as other industries merge or shrink. So there's so much potential, of course. And to get more into that, as far as your experience working in other countries around the world that maybe aren't as developed or sophisticated, and how that compares to working with the more sophisticated or complicated legal cannabis markets in the United States. What are your thoughts around that?
So what I would say is, you're right. It's definitely more complicated in the U.S. around certain aspects. So for instance, general day-to-day work, I think, is greatly simplified or much less complicated here in the U.S., right? So there are some areas that I think, you know, that the limbo status of cannabis makes more complicated. But the average day-to-day work is simplified here. Where it gets more complicated are things like capital formation, and scaling. Because for instance, if we were working, let's just take an example in a place like Congo, if something is legal, you have the right permits, you scale just like you would in the United States. Yes, it's a bit more difficult because you don't have as great of the infrastructure and things are a little bit more, a little bit less developed to get things done quickly, and technology is not as good, but it's generally pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Whereas in the US, we operate, let's say, in Colorado, and we have a wholesale market here, as to take a good example, because the Colorado wholesale market is very clear. You have licensed retailers, you have licensed growers, everybody knows what they have to do, and everyone knows that they must be licensed and regulatorily compliant to participate. Right. But now, when you go to another state, let's say, just pick any state, New York State, for example, medical only. So what does that mean? In New York State, are the regulations the same? No, they're not. They're a bit different. So scaling becomes difficult as the market. So you basically have to scale, you know, almost by municipality. Because, for example, even within the great state of Colorado, you have different regulations in different parts of the states, right? And so there are counties in Colorado that you can have cannabis operations. So that makes it just as complicated as any frontier market we've ever operated in. And then you have the fear of, you know, the sort of back of your mind fear of some sort of federal action, right? So that's different as well, because anywhere we ever operated in a frontier market, whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan or Romania, we were always 100% sure that we were in the right legal position, and there was no legal gray area.
Because so it's pretty much federal only. They don't have all the different states that the United States has with their state federal reconciliation issues. Yeah.
Right. And the political tradition of the United States is having very strong states' rights. It really is quite unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Spain may have something similar. I think Spain may have a similar situation, but it is really unique. And so it makes it quite complicated. And I would even say that there's some aspects of the cannabis industry, because we have a strong legal system within states that encourage to some degree some level of bad acting that doesn't exist in frontier markets. Because here in the US, if you're on a state level, you know, you do something bad, then you'll get a lawyer. That's sort of I was very shocked at that a little bit, I lived most of my adult life outside of the United States. And so if you're in Congo, you do something bad, you have a lot of things to worry about, not least of which is lawyers, right? Because if you do bad things, then bad things can happen to you. So but one of the things that we found a little bit disappointing, I suppose, is that there are some bad actors out there that, you know, they do something bad and don't behave appropriately, and then go grab a lawyer. And we have a very strong legal system here, which is great, but at the same time, it also, I think, to some degree, encourages some level of bad acting. And I think that's bad for the cannabis industry as well.
Sure. I totally get that. Right. So more about the global markets. We've seen Canada recently legalize for adult use. Now it seems Mexico seems to be prepared to legalize as well, with the new president coming in, which puts the United States in a position where we are literally going to be sandwiched between two countries that are more advanced than us in as far as legalizing cannabis. And we're going to fall behind in the global market is kind of the idea, if we don't get our butts in gear, which I alluded to earlier. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think that we will be okay, because I think the states are taking the lead in getting some things going. It's not very efficient, but I think it will allow us to do enough development to stay abreast. And then also, if you look at the other two countries that, you know, like you said, Canada and Mexico, those they sort of give us a good they light the way a bit, in the sense that I think it's almost a sort of a moral imperative to say, look, how much longer are we going to give all this revenue to cartels and the black market, like how, and then suffer all the negative impact of what they do with that money. So how much longer do we want to continue to do that? Because Canada has not suffered any explosion in illegality or terrible results stemming from their cannabis legalization. It just hasn't happened. And I think the Mexicans are smart to do what they're doing, because as a country that is more economically disadvantaged as compared to the United States, how much longer are they going to spend whatever they spend trying to stem the tide of something that, you know, it's never going to end because Americans smoke cannabis, period. That's what it comes down to. So I think those two countries going first actually helps us, because we see, look, nothing terrible really happened. The Canadians did not become suddenly a narco state. So, yeah. Right. So then that allows, you know, rather fearful Americans say, look, let's just get this right. Here's some lessons learned. And because the states are developing, I believe, like in all things, will move to the front very quickly once we get going.
Yeah, that's great. All right, we need to take our last commercial break here, and then we'll be right back to wrap up our conversation with Zach from Helix TCS. Stay tuned.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Now available for pre-order through crowdfunding for just $14 plus $10 shipping. Pouches. Premium mixing and rolling pouches allow you to carry and prepare your herbs for consumption with discretion and ease. These stylish pouches are handcrafted using strong zips, long-wearing buffalo leather outside, and smooth sheepskin inside. A portion of proceeds go to fund vital medical research into cannabis for ADHD. See a demo and get yours now on Indiegogo or pouches.com. That's pouchz.com.
Are you ready to be inspired and educated by the best of the best in the cannabis industry while enjoying sunny South Florida? Then you cannot miss out on the second annual United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, August 2nd and 3rd at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. The USCC Expo welcomes all cannabis business professionals, medical cannabis caregivers and clinicians, growers and dispensary owners to join us for another can't-miss event sponsored by the radio and podcast leader for all things cannabis, CannabisRadio.com. Learn more at usccexpo.com.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, and we're wrapping up our chat here with Zach Venegas, the chairman and CEO of Helix TCS, BioTrack THC, Cannabase, the wholesale market, and Helix Digital and Physical Security Services. And I want to thank you for your membership with NCIA and your involvement, because all three of those companies I mentioned are members of NCIA. So it's greatly appreciated to have your presence and to have your contributions to the association and the industry as well. And I look forward to hopefully seeing your various companies at our upcoming Seed to Sales show, which we're moving to Boston, Massachusetts. And that's taking place February 12th and 13th of 2019. Whew, 2019 already. Here we are.
That's scary.
Yeah. I also want to share that NCIA has some new event series coming up. Many people are familiar with our Cannabis Caucus events. We will continue those in 2019 in 5 regions. Those kick off in March. We've also started a new series we're calling Industry Socials. So in January, our West Coast tour, we will come to Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, Nevada, Salt Lake City, Utah is a city I wasn't sure we would be going to so soon, but it's very exciting, and Phoenix, Arizona as well. So information about those events are on our website under events. If you're an NCIA member, it's actually included in your membership to attend these, free registration, but remember to register. Please. the industry socials will be a little bit more fun and relaxed than our Cannabis Caucus events. So come kick back with your industry people. Before we go, I did want to ask you another thinker question. Along the continuum of full adult use legalization and the criminal market on the other end, where do you see us in the United States along that spectrum? Are we like, you know, if full adult legalization is a 10 and a awful criminal market is a 0 or 1, where are we at?
So it's different for different states. I hate to give you that kind of a big answer, but it's different for different states. I think if we sort of smash it all together, pull an average, I would say we're 6 to 7. I think a lot more can be done to enhance, you know, the revenue that states derive and therefore society derives from what's happening if we just kind of sort of get over the fear of, you know, hordes of drug dealers or whatever that people think negative is going to happen, you know, every other kid, you know, using cannabis and then moving on to, you know, really terrible drugs like, let's say, you know, prescription opioids, right? Which is that we all know is the actual opposite direction, right?
So an exit drug, not a gateway drug.
Right. So we know that, and look, again, as a person coming from a big city, right? I'm a New Yorker and all that good stuff. Anyone who's lived in those places and been around communities that were seriously affected by drug use, like mine, knows it's common sense. We don't need studies. Everybody knows that, you know, a person that has an occasional joint is a person who has is the same as a person who has a glass of wine at dinner. There's no massive risk. There's none of this gateway stuff that everybody's always talking about. Now,
right.
You know, and so the faster we move down that continuum to some sort of responsible use, adult use, the better it is for everyone. And I think, you know, I don't think I personally would ever support cannabis being something that you buy the way you buy, you know, Kool-Aid or a gallon of ice cream from the store. I think it needs to be monitored and I think it needs to be controlled. I'm a big believer in that. But the sooner we get to deciding what that looks like and implementing it in a consistent and rational fashion, which I think as Americans, relative to the world, we're pretty good at, right? That I would say, you know, Americans are a practical people and pretty straightforward and not too much into self-deception relative to other places, right? So if we can put those sort of natural characteristics to use, I think, you know, we get to a 10 in the right form relatively quickly. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Okay, well, we have run out of time, but Zach, thank you so much for joining me on the show today and sharing some of your wisdom about the global market and where we're going.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. And if anyone would like more information about NCIA or some of the events I mentioned, visit thecannabisindustry.org and check out our events. If you want to learn more about the Seed to Sale show in Boston, visit www.seedtosaleshow.com. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and until next time on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.